Hello and welcome to Talk From Superheroes. Hey everybody, I'm Andrew Ivamy.
And I'm Diana McCullough.
And you are listening to Talk From Superheroes, where every week we discuss a piece of superhero television or film. And this week we dare to ask the question, what if?
What if we discussed... What if?
What if?
It would sound
the
like
podcast
this.
Again. It would be pretty close to a usual episode of the podcast, actually.
But yes. It didn't exist before, and it will exist now.
If we did ever want to repilot the podcast, this would have been the episode.
That's a lot of pressure right now.
No, I'm saying we're not doing
it. Oh, okay.
I'm saying we're, but if we did, this would have been the one where we could have, just a new format. Just start slipping new things in.
It'd be cool if we
I'm not even, it's just someone else.
Yeah,
it's Diana. And then, it's just like, hi, it's me, Philip, your usual host.
We never draw attention to it.
Philip. Never, it's never brought up recast.
It's a new universe.
Yeah.
We don't mention it. It's cool, guys. What if Andrew was replaced with Philip?
Was recast. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if Scar could talk?
And
it's just me and the dog.
See, that's the type of heat.
That's the dream.
That's the spicy meatball that you want out of the world.
Oh man, I shouldn't dream so big.
Hey,
I can't reach that.
You're gonna have to bring it down and aim a little smaller because you can't dream that big. So we're talking about what if. We're gonna be talking about we've seen episodes 1 to 7, which is what we're going to be discussing on today's episode. So a spoiler warning for episodes 1 to 7. We have not seen 8 and 9 at the time of this, so you're safe. You're safe if you're listening to this when 8 and 9 is out there. We haven't messed with those. It's 1 to 7, but they are all relatively self-contained little stories, so you know they can be, air quote, spoiled. But also, it doesn't really touch upon anything else, so you don't need to worry too much.
Yeah, they're contained, and the title gives away what happens. So I would say if you're trying to avoid spoilers for this show, make sure you don't read the titles.
No, yeah, you got to blast that play button real quick when
gotta
you get in
get
there.
You got to get right in there.
You got to keep clicking.
If you really want to go, I don't even want to know what the change is going to be, you got to dive in so fast.
Which is tough, because the Disney Plus interface does not really encourage that. Because sometimes you click things, and I think when you click what if, it's one of those menus where it goes to the next menu but nothing is selected, so if you keep hitting okay or enter or whatever's on your remote, it's not doing anything until you hit down. Mm-hmm. You know those ones where it's here's a new menu and you technically are nowhere on that menu somehow? You exist both everywhere and nowhere simultaneously. They ask the question, what if you weren't on this menu? And you've got to do something.
This will be actually the thing I genuinely kind of like about Disney Plus, though. It doesn't just automatically start playing things real quick when you don't feel like it. It's not trying to trap you in the app. Some of them are trying to trap you
there. Some of them do trap you in the app.
In the instance where I don't want to read an episode title is a problem,
right,
then you are a little stuck.
Yeah.
You are a little stuck.
Yeah, there's a few problems with the Disney Plus system. It's lack of watch list, continue watching, or getting to the watch list.
It's there,
is
but
tough.
It sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. So there's some stuff that sucks.
But the show.
Show.
We discussed the show.
So even though they are relatively self-contained, we are going to give you a quick spoiler-free review just in case you're on the fence about watching it at all and aren't sure whether it's worth it. So we're going to give you a quick spoiler-free review. Then once you hear the theme music, that's when we're going to get into the spoiler-filled section. So if you're on the fence about watching What If, quick spoiler-free review. Diana, are you liking it?
I will say, I guess in general, I am liking it. It is a real roller coaster of quality. It's started out crazy strong. I still think episode 1 is probably my favorite episode. And for me, it's been a down roller coaster since then, except this last episode was killer too. They really got me back. I was pretty much off the train completely. I'm pull the lever, getting off here. I don't really enjoy this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Last episode really brought me back in. I was enjoying it. Overall, it's really you know, some of the premises don't work for me, which is the episodes that really fail, but a few premises are really fun. They really capture some of the characters so incredibly well. It's really fun how many of the actors they got here to it really makes it feel more special and really actually connected. And you're like, oh wow, this is a real MCU property. It feels more connected than the Netflix Marvel shows did because they get all the actors to do the voices. So in general, I really like it. Some episodes are stellar. Some episodes kind of suck, but they're not connected. So they kind of can really switch in quality that way. So I'd give it a like if you like Marvel anything. Some will be bangers. Some you won't like. It's a real... a real platter of shows. Mm. Andrew, are you liking it?
Yeah, I'm also liking it. I think I'm similar to you. I don't think I'm as negative on the middle section of it. I agree that episode 1 and 7 that we recently watched were the better ones for sure, were a little bit more joyous and fun. I kind of like that there is like a varying tone. So one thing that I think is nice about this miniseries, I guess we'll say, which is that there are a few episodes that I think just aren't for me, but I do think that there are some people out there who will enjoy them. I think that there is enough variation between the episodes that if you're into the MCU, there's going to be a couple of these that hit for you, and there's a couple of these that just won't because there is a varying enough style, character choice, and taste from episode to episode. So I think that that is both its strength and its weakness, is that you know, it is a mini series that's doing random things, and some of it works and some of it doesn't. But it will, which ones work and don't, will change and vary depending on who you are and what you're into and whether you want to see. You know, maybe when you're at the MCU movies, you're like, wow, I really wish things went off the deep end and were hyper violent and like this guy could kill everyone, and you want to like just see like a weird version of that in your head, and they'll have an episode like that. Or maybe you're the type of person who's like, I really want to just see like a wacky goof around, like let's have fun with this, and they offer that as well. So I do think it'll connect differently with different people, but there's enough joy and playfulness that it's worth watching. And if there's anything that you don't like, and I've even had this a couple times during watching it where I'm like, oh, I'm not really into this, but I'm like, oh, whatever, it'll be over in 30 minutes and we'll be on to another one. I think that they do a pretty good job of keeping them around a tight 30. Maybe they could be a few minutes less, but it's quick and breezy, and even the bad ones are kind of peppy and fast enough that I'm not really like, I don't really feel dragged down even when they don't land. Like, I feel just kind of like, oh, this will be over soon and this is fine, even when they don't land for me.
I love all these points you're making for a show that I only kind of like. That's a great point about how it's not a show for one type of viewer.
Yeah.
Like, I am one type of viewer. I kind of like funner, peppier, more optimistic things, but not everyone wants that in their media, and this is an anthology of what-ifs, and they're not connected stories, so you can do anything. So, yeah, because the episode I liked the least, there definitely were some tweets out there that were like, this episode was incredible, I loved it. So it was for somebody.
Yeah.
That's a very nice way of looking at it. I love that.
Yeah.
And you're right about the length. They can be a little shorter, but even when they're not great, they're moving.
Yeah.
They're like, we're not going to keep you.
They're quickly paced,
here.
They're quickly cut, and even though I think they could be a few minutes shorter, they don't overstay their welcome. They're not too long. It is just like, they are on the precipice of overstaying its welcome, but it never quite crosses over so far.
Yeah, because pretty much everyone is like, what if we did a whole movie in 33 minutes? And I'm like, well, you're going to have to pack it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they definitely move at a pace.
And that is one thing that I will say about these as well, is that it does lend itself stronger if you are a big fan of the MCU. So because some of them are like, what if, and not actual episode titles, but they're trying to compress a movie or several movies worth of plot line into 30 minutes. So they are hitting just like bullet points, the quick pillars of a character's storyline, assuming that you know the default one. So there is a lot of assumptions made from this show. It is both completely self-contained and not self-contained at all. Like, it is a story that exists in this bubble pocket universe that doesn't affect the movies or anything, but you as an audience member, it does expect you as an audience member to have a certain level of knowledge about the movies and shows and the characters.
It really does. Like, I think you can understand every episode, even if you haven't seen the entire MCU, but it's way easier if you have, and way more enjoyable, because you're like, I can fill in the blanks of the scenes you're skipping, or the ones that you've changed, or I know what happened originally. So yeah, it's definitely a love letter to MCU fans.
Yes.
Like, you gotta know the MCU.
Yeah, absolutely.
To really, really enjoy this show.
And can it be spoiled?
Yeah, no, it's so hard to say. Like, they're not connected. They're all their own little stories. But, like, twists happen within those episodes.
Twists happen within, but I would say for the most part, the biggest spoiler is the title of the episodes of the show, which, if you're not able to click fast enough and you see the title of it, then I think that that's the major spoiler. And maybe two of them have a twist spoiler in there that's kind of like a soft little spoiler or whatever, but for the most part, it's a self-contained anthology.
Yeah, it's a fun little anthology. You guys should check it out if you like MCU, and if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do.
You probably do and are. And before we get into the spoiler-filled section of the episode, we want to thank one of our sponsors and wonderful friends over at Quip.
Over at Quip Toothbrushes. Andrew, when's the last time you got rewarded for brushing your teeth?
Recently, because I use Quip.
Oh, shit.
Yes, I use their smart brush, which is fantastic. It connects to the Quip app with Bluetooth, so it can track how well I brush, like tips and tells me about my habits. I'm crushing it, just throwing that out there. I got the Bluetooth one. I'm like, how am I doing? I connected it to the app, and the app was like, oh, yeah, all green across the board. I'm like, that's how you do it. I'm doing it right. But it's
so proud of you.
But it's,
you're doing so good.
It's good to have that affirmation. I could have been doing it wrong. And before I opened up the app, I'm like, am I? There was a fear where I'm like, before I got this, I get the smart toothbrush, I connect it, and I'm like, I hope it's not telling me I've been doing this wrong, because if I have, it has been a while that I've been doing it wrong.
It's been a minute. But fair enough, because brushing is something you do alone in a bathroom where no one else sees. So like, if someone else could easily walk in and be like, what is this technique?
Yeah, since I was a child, I've never had supervision while I brush my teeth. I mean, they do also, like Quip does actually make one that is a kid electric toothbrush. So if you are a kid or have kids, you can still get one from Quip. But I haven't been supervised in a while. It helps with that. I know I'm on track and doing it right, and with it connecting to the app, I also earn points as well, which I can redeem for rewards like free products, gift cards, discounts, and lots of cool stuff. So I like that as well. So I'm still tracking. I'm still getting my streak. I'm getting my points, and I'm going to be trading them in for rewards.
And I think you bringing up kids is great, because the Smart Brush is also for kids. And if you tell kids like it's a rewards program and there's challenges like streaks and stuff, your kids are going to brush their teeth more and for longer if they're going to get stuck.
Gamifying stuff is very important for adults and kids as well.
Especially it's a double health. Down. Yeah,
especially
gamify that health.
Especially for health reasons. You've got to do it. And it's not just the brush. Quip has stuff beyond the brush to help complete your routine as well. They have mint or watermelon toothpaste. They have a floss that's refillable that is great. I really like the floss. It is probably the most convenient and the most I've ever flossed in my life. Sometimes I've tried to deceive dentists in the past.
We all lie to the dentist.
We've all lied to them. But there have been times where I've gone to the dentist and they're like, you floss? And I'm like, absolutely, when I absolutely did not. But now I recently went to the dentist, first time in a while, and the dentist didn't say, do you floss? The dentist went, oh, you floss. And I was like, oh, I've never heard that in my life.
You got the statement.
I got the statement from the dentist, and it's because I'm using the Quip floss. I've never heard it from the dentist as a statement and not a question before. So Quip changed the game there.
And gotta say, it's such a good-looking case.
Nice little travel case and everything.
And you're like, oh, I'm a fancy flosser.
Feeling good about it. They also have sugar-free gum as well. I'm back on a gum tip because when I've been wearing masks, I find that like my mouth gets dry. I like having a bit of gum going on. It's been a while since I've been a gum person. You know, some people are gum people. Some people are not. I'm becoming a gum person again.
You're coming back.
The phase is coming back now.
Mm-hmm. And Quip delivers all of these things every 3 months from $5, and shipping is free, so you can save money and skip the hustle and bustle of going to the store to get all your tooth needs.
That's right. So start getting rewards for brushing your teeth today. Go to getquip.com/TFS right now to save $10 on a Quip Smart Electric Toothbrush. That's $10 off a Smart Electric Toothbrush at getquip.com/TFS. That's getquip.com/TFS. Quip, the Good Habits Company. And thank you very much, Quip, for your support.
Thank you, Quip.
And now let's get into the episode. Let's talk about what if. All All right. So we've seen episodes 1-7 of What If. We are mixed bag liking it so far. I think it started with a bang.
Oh, such a bang.
Let's talk about – so episode 1, What If Captain Carter were the first Avenger? What if Captain Carter became Captain Carter became Captain Britain in this scenario?
Yeah. I loved this episode. It came in so hot. It's so fast. Peggy as with superpowers is so much more joyful than I thought she would be. And she has such a sense of humor and such like she finds so much joy in fighting Nazis, but also just in being powerful. Like, it's such a more interesting story.
Yeah,
than,
I agree.
Than Steve. Like, not that Steve's story isn't interesting, but, like, it takes that story into such an interesting way of, like, the first super soldier.
And it is, obviously they're going through the beats of his story, but with her. But it's varied enough, and I think they have a strong enough understanding of her as a character that it becomes her own, and it has unique characteristics and things to it. So that's one thing that I really like about it, is that it's not just a, like, we're going to do all the exact same things, but it is a different character, a different sense of humor, a different style, and, like, hitting some similar fence posts, but with its own angle on it. It does feel very Peggy.
It feels very Peggy, but in a way that I haven't seen her before. Not that she's, like, she's not really funny, but she's, like, a little snarky in the movies. And I just feel like this is actually what the character would be like if she got superpowers. Mm. Like, you know, she's been working. She has to work so hard against everything against her in the time. She's a woman in war at a time when women can't fight. So, you know, as much as Steve was small, he was still a white guy who got respect automatically. So for her to be in this position of being like, yes, I can actually fight now. I can make a difference. No one can disrespect me. It is absolutely such an interesting take, and it really would change her personality of, like, I'm more loose now, I'm not so reserved, I don't have to be as careful about what I say to make sure I don't get demoted or I don't get disrespected. It's such an interesting story, and also just they made it so fun.
And the romance between the two of them. I really love how they played the romance between the two of them. It does a really good job of, like, flipping the power dynamics between them, but showing why in their heart and core of core, these two are connected and belong together. You know, like it really does work.
It really does work because Steve was already into Peggy when she was kind of stronger than him physically back when he was small. Mm. So he'd still be so into her when she was big.
Yeah.
He'd be like, ooh, double the Peggy, double the fun for Steve.
Absolutely.
And she like already respected him. So yeah, nothing changes for their dynamic except they're still super cute together.
I might even, and maybe this is just because there's less time spent with Bucky and Steve in this one, but I might even buy their relationship more in this scenario than I did in the mainline MCU. And like, granted, I think that Steve is a bisexual character who is in love with both Bucky and Peggy.
We are aligned in this thought, yes.
Yeah, and I think that he would be happy with either one of them in life. But in this scenario, maybe it's just because there's less time and obsession spent with Bucky, but like it hits harder where I'm like, oh, Peggy actually wins by an inch on this one.
That makes sense because Steve doesn't get to be the protagonist in this. He doesn't get to go save Bucky, and we don't see things through Steve's point of view. So there's way less Bucky in the story.
Right.
So
right.
I think that makes sense that their relationship seems to work better when Bucky's not around cock blocking. And there's one scene where he like literally just cock blocks them. He like taps on the window so they can't kiss.
Right.
And
right.
It's like, Steve, you're being torn between two beautiful people. Great options all around. Mm-hmm, like, we're really happy whatever you go with. Like, what I like about thinking about the Peggy episode is that she's the one who gets sent into the future. So I'm like, Steve and Bucky are together in World War II. No Peggy. They're living happily ever after, my friend.
I see what you're saying.
I want the what if of that continued story.
Now, if I remember correctly, in that episode, Peggy's the one there when she saves Bucky, right?
She said, yeah she goes and pulls him out. Yeah.
Right, right, right. And, like, you know, Steve is coming in, I think, a few moments afterwards in the armor or whatever. But it seems less romantic of a tie between Steve and Bucky, because it's not like, I love you, I saved you.
No, it's like, I love you, I sent my girlfriend to save you.
Yeah, and it's more of a moment of Bucky being like, cool girlfriend, bro. Like, it feels more like a platonic friendship between Bucky and Steve and less like genuine romance. So I buy Peggy and Steve's romance so much in this episode. It hits so hard.
But what's interesting about when you compare it to like the Steve Bucky of the original is that the things that happen to Steve are the things that happen to Bucky in the original. So Steve falls off the train and gets captured by Hydra.
Right.
But he's the love interest.
Right.
And that's what Bucky did in the original movie. So does that mean Bucky was the love interest?
Interesting.
In Cap 1?
Interesting. A perhaps subtle agreement that Bucky was the love interest.
Bucky is absolutely one of the love interests. Like, it is the exact same in the first movie. Like, you know, Bucky falls off a train and is gone forever. So, of course, he's with Peggy. But Bucky doesn't fall off that train. You're like, I don't know who he ends up with.
I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I think this show is saying.
I can mess with that. I also want to say, too, that Hayley Atwell's performance is really, really good. Because I think that there is a difference between a performer with range and good casting. And good casting isn't necessarily a negative reflection on the performer. I think that there are a lot of actors in the MCU who are very well cast who couldn't necessarily play a different character in the MCU. Still great actors, but they were cast in the right part. But Hayley Atwell in this character, it is more charm, it is more charisma, it is more humor. It is a different version, and Hayley Atwell has the range to perform it and is also a very talented voice actor, not only having the range to perform a different version of this character that feels like it has a different journey and arc, but to be able to convey it with just her voice as well. Hayley Atwell really, really shines.
Hayley Atwell does really shine, yeah. I didn't write them as they happened, but a few of the MCU actors are not nearly as good in the booth. I think they need other actors to play off of.
Absolutely.
Not good solo. Mm-hmm. And she did crush it. She found the joy of this new Peggy. She had a great performance. She was all around fantastic. I'm so happy she got to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I didn't see her doing, like, no one really did press for this, but like, I really would have, I would like to like read an interview with her about like how she felt doing this new Peggy.
Yeah.
Peggy's great.
It's a variation. And I will say, like, we've talked a little bit in the past about like the difference between a voice actor and an on-camera actor. And some people can do both and some people can only do one. And it's not necessarily a slam. Some people are just more expressive and emotive with their facial expression and eyebrows. And, you know,
Need people in the room with them.
Some people need people in the room with them. And some people can do, you know, with an eyebrow movement more than some actors can with a soliloquy. But I think that Hayley Atwell and with some of these stage performers, so I think some of the on-camera performers who are also trained stage actors, they typically transition a little bit better to voice acting just because they're a little bit bigger and broader and they know how to sell variation to the back row, which is done with the voice a bit more than the face. Whereas actors who aren't stage actors and who are just on-camera actors are relying a little bit more on their expression and a little bit more on you as an audience member reading from their face what they want you to, you know?
I can totally get behind that because we're not on his episodes yet, but I think the other breakout of like the actual MCU actors to me was Tom Hiddleston, who's a huge theater actor.
Yeah.
So I think that makes a lot of sense. I do have one negative for this one.
And
that'll probably be my last thing about the Captain Carter episode. It's not even really a negative, but it's just a little thing in the back of my mind that bothers me. There is this slight kind of lingering sexism in this episode, despite it being an episode about like strong Peggy, cool Peggy, in that they're like mirroring a lot of beats of Cap 1, but Steve gets an Iron Man suit and Peggy didn't get an Iron Man suit in Cap 1. When I really feel in my heart, I'm like, it felt like you weren't willing to let Steve just do the little things Peggy got to do in Cap 1. You're like, well, Steve needs to do cool stuff. I'm like, well, that's not what Peggy got to do in Cap 1. She got to shoot like one gun.
Yeah.
And, you know, she gave good speeches and she was cool. I love Peggy. But, yeah, it felt like a little like, well, we got to give him something to do.
Like he's a dude. He's Steve Rogers.
Yeah, I'm like, but she's
Peggy fucking Carter.
Yeah, so, like, you give Peggy superpowers, then you're like, oh, by the way, Steve is the first Iron Man and is way stronger than her. I'm like, that's bullshit. That's bullshit, and I don't like it.
I wouldn't say he's stronger than her, but yes, yeah. He's
an Iron Iron Man suit.
It's some busted old Iron Man made by Howard Stark. It's not as good. Current Iron Man could barely take on
It's more like desert
Captain
Iron
America.
Man.
Yeah.
All right. But still very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
They call him a Hydra Buster. He can fly.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's also so cute when they're fighting all the planes together in the sky. So it's only a minor negative because I think it works for their romance and it's really cute.
Right.
But I do think there is a touch of sexism there of we won't make the boys do what we made the girls do.
I fully agree. I fully, completely agree. I think that at best, and I don't think this is drawn attention to, and I don't think it was the intention, so it's certainly not an excuse, but there's part of me that's like, Howard Stark would give Steve a suit of armor and not Peggy. That even though he's friends with Peggy, I feel like if there's like, is there a sexist man on camera right now? Oh, of course it's the Starks.
Yeah.
It does logically track, but I don't think that was the intention, and there was no commentary and no lantern hung on that, and it was just the show being like, well, we've got to have Steve be cool.
He's got to be around, or she doesn't have a love interest. Mm. So I get it, but at the same time, I'm like, might do better in the movies. I will give them huge redemption points for the episode we just watched, episode 7, which was crazy powerful lady heavy.
Yes, that is true.
So we'll get into that in a second.
Yeah, so that's varied. So episode 1, we loved. Episode 2 was what if T'Challa became a Star-Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And that one was fun. I really liked episode 2.
I liked it
a bit more than you, I think.
You did like it a bit more than me. I still liked it, but it was like I was riding such a high off the Peggy episode, which I found flawless, that like some of the Star-Lord stuff as T'Challa, I was like, I don't believe Thanos is a henchman. I just like, I'm sorry, I'm no fun sometimes. Just a few things didn't quite track for me. But overall, I thought it was really fun. I really liked these. I think the episodes that work best are these first two where it's like, what if this hero was the other hero?
Right.
And that's all the what if is. It's not like this pessimistic everyone dies bullshit that we're going to get into in a minute with like 4 in a row of that.
Yeah.
It's very much just like, what if, and what is great about this is what if T'Challa was Star-Lord, a much better superhero than the original one, which is kind of rude, but I like it.
Rude but fair.
T'Challa would be incredible. He would rule the galaxies.
Yeah.
So this one was really fun. It was believable that this is what T'Challa would be like in space. Mm. Every episode with Chadwick Boseman broke me down into tears, but he did an incredible job. Another incredible voice performer. Like, I felt like I was watching Black Panther. Like,
yeah.
His performance sounded kind of like the exact same in a good way as his movie performances.
I fully agree with that.
If that makes sense?
Yeah, it was aligned. It was well aligned, yeah.
Yeah, what about you? What were you liking about it?
For that, like, I was into the T'Challa became Star-Lord episode. Agree with you on the Boseman thing. I mean, there were so many tweets kind of going out around this episode. I didn't realize that this wasn't Boseman's last thing. Like, Boseman is still around doing other voices in the other episodes, which is fantastic. But I really thought that this was like the final hurrah and was kind of a like, oh, he's still. So I was kind of surprised that they still had him around in other episodes, which is great. But I really like this episode. I like what you didn't about this one. I think, and if anything, I think that this series could go sillier and more nonsense. Whereas the first one and some of them are very much like, what if we change one tiny thing and let's very seriously it inspect every little thing that would change. And in this one, it's just like, I don't know, T'Challa's fun, now Thanos is nice. Don't fucking worry about it. Shut up. Like,
I'm worried about it.
I like that energy of just this show just being like, I don't know, T'Challa was nice to a dude once and now there's not genocide. Fucking be cool. And
you're gonna complain about no genocide?
That is a fun...
I don't know why we're from New York.
I don't know why I like that, but that is a fun energy to me. And then constantly hanging a hat on it as well and like having background Thanos be like, no, it's because it would be random, you see. But he's doing it over drinks and shit. Like, it's really, really funny. I liked them just kind of like lingering on that. It all worked for me. I enjoy it being a little bit sillier and a little bit less of a close inspection of what would change.
Now, hear me out. This, because I feel like I'm a fun person. Mm. I'm not fun. And I think the Thor party episode really worked and was a very fun episode.
I agree. The Thor party episode is that turned up to 12.
Yeah, and I think because it's turned up at 12, I think it worked better because the T'Challa one, I actually thought that was a close introspection. I'm like, I believe that all of these people would change for T'Challa except Thanos. Like, I think he would make Yondu a better person. I do think he could, like, turn the Ravagers around. So to me, it actually was, like, a genuine close inspection of him, except for the Thanos part. And that's why... So that's why I couldn't go full fun, because I'm like, they've done a great job of really beating out how T'Challa would change the entire galaxy if he was Star-Lord.
Right.
So I didn't feel like it went full just like, let's have fun.
Okay.
But it was fun, because I think the Collector was probably my favorite part, though. I don't know who Benicio paid to be like, I want 18 abs, I want to be twice the size as I was in the movie.
Jacked Collector.
I want to have Mjolnir, I want to have the Infinity Gauntlet, or what did he have? He had Hela's horns.
He had fucking everything.
Like, Earth is decimated.
Everyone is dead, except for the characters, T'Challa, Star-Lord, and the Ravagers. Everyone else in this universe seems to be completely dead because the Collector has literally all the things.
I wrote down a few of them so we can verify this. He has Hela's crown, he had Mjolnir, and he had Cap's shield. But at the end of the episode, we go to Earth and Wakanda's fine.
Right.
So I don't know what the Collector did.
Right.
Or who he killed or when he got these things, but...
Get that handful of stuff or whatever.
That was fun, and I believed that. Mm. So this was my favorite section, the jacked Collector, all of his weapons fight. I think this was ridiculous in a way that I'm like, I guess if the Collector just worked out a bit.
And this was one, too, that I'm like... I don't think Benicio remembers what he did as the Collector.
I think if you asked him if he was in the MCU, he'd say he wasn't.
He'd forget,
He'd be like, no, not Benicio.
When we talk about T'Challa being consistent, like Chadwick Boseman like showing up and being like, I know T'Challa's voice and cadence and rhythm, and I could do it in my sleep. Mm-hmm. Benicio showed up and was like, I have no idea what I've been hired for. I don't remember doing this role. It's Disney. Is this the one where I stuttered? And someone was like, that was Star Wars.
No, this
and
he's is
like,
the one where you mumbled.
He's like, I don't know. I'm just going to do whatever. And you guys try to keep up. Mm-hmm. He does not give a fuck.
He doesn't. Let me throw this theory out for you, though. Because, like, you're right. He doesn't sound like the character from the movies in any way. But he is in a voice booth where he's just doing a voice with a director telling him to voice things. And he's probably like, he does the mumbly Collector voice that he does. And then the voice director's like, we couldn't hear any of that, Benicio. You got to do it again.
Please enunciate and say it. Good.
You got to enunciate. This is voice acting.
Yeah.
We can't see your little face performance. Going on.
Oh, God. Benicio is just doing everything. And it is wild.
He will not play the same character twice.
All right.
And he didn't.
All right. So that's the T'Challa Becomes Star-Lord episode. All right. Then we get What If the World Lost Its Mightiest Heroes, which is the one where all of the Avengers are killed. Do not like this episode.
This is the start where everything goes downhill for me. This is the first of 4 episodes where we kill most of the Avengers.
Okay, yeah.
So this episode didn't get repetitive for me, but this theme really bored the hell out of me of what if tons of Avengers die every episode.
Right.
And this one was kind of like the worst of it. It was these kind of like... not interesting deaths of the Avengers, but also still kind of brutal and like just ways I don't want. Like the Hulk exploded from the inside, and I'm like, I like Bruce.
Yeah.
I don't want this fate for him. Like he's a nice man.
Yeah, and they basically, without humor, did with the Hulk the what if Ant-Man went up Thanos' ass internet theory of killing Thanos, but it was with the Hulk and it was with... Hank Pym, Ant-Man.
Which vindication to the Ant-Man Thanos people, I think, proves it would work.
Yeah, to the Thanos-ass Ant-Man people, I hope you feel good.
But, you know, all we've proven is you can also just go in through a cut or an ear.
Yeah,
you didn't need to go through the butt.
And you don't
need to go through the butt, guys.
Yeah. I think that if this wasn't several episodes of this, of this similar, like, let's go for a brutal kill spree kind of a premise... I feel like there is a value to this episode. I don't think it's the best one, but it's a classic comic book storyline, your Tower of Babel Batman storyline.
How do you kill each Avenger?
Exactly. And it's just be like, oh, what is a hero's weakness? And we kind of go through and explore that. That's fun to a certain degree.
To a certain degree, most of the Avengers are regular people. I knew how to kill them. Mm-hmm. I mean, he kills Tony and Hawkeye just by walking in their ears. I'm like, yeah, they're humans.
Yeah. Yeah, but also you shouldn't be able to do that. It's like with a little bit of Stark tech, Falcon was able to see Ant-Man. Mm. You know, yeah, like I so. Guess,
but he knew, he didn't know, they didn't know there was tiny people yet. All right.
Yeah.
They didn't know you could get small yet. Falcon could see him.
Falcon with a human gun was just like, no, I think I got it.
I'm going to shoot you with my bullet.
I'll shoot an ant with a bullet. It still works, and it does still work, or it could still work.
Yeah, but it's not, it's not a thing I need to see happen. It is, and also, like, I didn't really believe some of the motivations. Like, yeah, Hank Pym killing the Avengers because Hope was killed, sure. Mm-hmm. He kind of really, like, pushed it and, like, why'd you kill Thor? He's like, he could have become an Avenger. He's like this regular human without his hammer. He's like, what?
Yeah.
That's why you killed Thor? Like, this dude who just showed up on Earth a second ago? Like, he'd been here for 5 seconds.
And I also think one of the other frustrating things about this episode and about its framing device, which doesn't really work for me, is that the entire conceit of these what-ifs is it is the universe as we know it. What if, insert change, continue the story from there? And I don't think they found, like, they weren't sure how to reveal this in an interesting way, because the what-if isn't the what if of the episode. So the episode's what if the world lost its mightiest heroes, which implies that the story is like the Avengers die, who protects the Earth, who are the next Avengers, how do we move on? The what if is what if Hope Van Dyne joins SHIELD?
She
dies, and then Hank Pym goes crazy and kills the Avengers.
But that reveals the killer.
Yeah, but I don't think the murder mystery was the fun part of this episode. So it's just a really awkward framing device where it's, what if we lied to you about the what if and showed up to the what if too late? But lies aren't twists. As we've said on the network many times, lies aren't twists. And this whole what if, its big twist is that it lies to us about the what if. And that's super dumb, and I find it really annoying.
Yeah, if it's what if the Avengers all died, they should all die in the same freak accident in the first 5 minutes.
Yes.
And then the world deals with that.
Yeah, and it's like we need to call up new Avengers and, like, yeah, do some different shit.
And it also doesn't, like, just structurally it doesn't work, because for most of the episode, Black Widow is your POV character. Mm. We're with her through all of it. Tony's death, Hawkeye's death. She's solving it. She figures it out. Then with like 10 minutes left, she dies. And now Fury's the main character.
Yeah.
And then it's also kind of Loki. And it's like the POV just doesn't work through the story.
Yeah.
One positive, absolutely huge positive. Lake Bell is incredible as Black Widow.
Yes. Oh my God.
She was the best Black, like, you thought it was Scarlett Johansson, I remember, because we didn't check the credits. And I'm like, she's not this funny, because and she's not this good.
We knew that Chris Evans wasn't doing Steve, and the person who voices Steve does a fine job.
Oh, yeah.
We knew that RDJ wasn't doing Tony. And again, the person doing Tony, doing a solid voice match of RDJ, fine work. Lake Bell is doing God's work. I didn't believe in God until hearing Lake Bell do Black Widow. And it is exactly Scarlett Johansson, but better.
It's kind of embarrassing for Scarlett Johansson to be like,
a little bit.
You can just be replaced by Lake Bell right now.
In a second.
Yeah, like it sounds like her, but like just the performance is like more full and believable and feels like a real person, but also still feels like Natasha.
Yeah.
It's so good. And for you guys who don't know, Lake Bell also does Poison Ivy in the Harley Quinn show. And she's just as good. She is chef's kiss. She's so good at playing redhead badasses, you guys. She's got it nailed down.
Yeah, like if Scarlett Johansson figured out Black Widow as a character, and Black Widow as a character has a range that exists from 1 to 10, Scarlett Johansson has only ever performed that character from 4 to 8. From like a, you know, like...
Oh, weird middle range.
Yeah, has never gone to either extreme. Lake Bell showed up and was like, I can do every new... I know who this character is as well as you, but I can hit every nuance of it. And in 30 minutes. And it is a phenomenal and a wild ride of a performance.
So this will be, yeah, this is my biggest positive of this episode. I didn't enjoy very much. Lake Bell crushing it.
Thank you for bringing that up. I feel frankly embarrassed that I almost forgot to say how absolutely terrific that Lake Bell is.
This is why I take notes.
You are better than me.
I'm so literate.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break in the podcast to thank our other wonderful sponsor of today's episode. I want to thank our friends over at NordVPN.
NordVPN, going to keep you safe. They're like a cyber Swiss army knife. They're going to protect your privacy.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to protect your computer
yep.
for privacy.
Yeah.
And they're going to...
And they're going to allow you to access perhaps region lock content that you might not be able to access wherever you are. So there's a lot of different things that it's going to provide you. You need a VPN, and NordVPN offers a fantastic service. We use it here. It's given great speed, great security, great protection, and allows us to skirt around things that maybe companies don't want us to watch here in Canada. So
you can't stop us, companies.
That's
right. We can see things in 59 different countries with NordVPN.
Absolutely. And we should be able to see the things.
Yeah. Geostrictions should not be an issue, and they no longer are. You can change your location with one click. It's super easy. VPNs sound complicated.
Yeah.
Not. You download it. You click one button, you say what country you want to be in, and that's the country you're in.
Nord has done 100% of the complicated things for you. It is boiled down to the simplest thing possible. It is just an app. You just need to install it on your computer. You can get it on your phone, your tablets, whatever devices it is that you're running, and it's just going to be a couple of clicks. That's all that's to it. I open it up, and it's like, where do you want to go? And I start typing in United States, and I get UN, and it's like, yeah, we got you. And it's just happening. It's just already happening. And then it goes to their satellites on Mars. I don't know how Nord does it, but it does it. And then it goes to a different place, and then it's done.
And then we get to watch U.S. content that's geo-restricted. And mm-hmm. you can have one account on up to six devices, as Andrew said. So one account covers all of your stuff. You're going to be so good. And it's the fastest VPN in the world, so you're going to be speeding around that internet.
Just zip-zooming, and I love it. So easy, so secure, and I'm watching all kinds of stuff. Damn you, companies that forget Canada exists. Because sometimes it's not about getting other country stuff. Sometimes it's just like you go to watch a thing and we're in Canada and it's just like, oh, you can't watch that. And I'm like, well, where do I watch it? And they're like, nowhere. We forgot about you, Canada. I'm like, come on.
My American friends are tweeting about it.
I want to see what people are tweeting about. So NordVPN is a fantastic service that we use regularly. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to go to nordvpn.com/TFS or use promo code TFS to get 73% off a 2-year plan plus 4 bonus months for free. Be quick, because this offer is for a limited time only. So once again, that's nordvpn.com/TFS or use promo code TFS, 73% off a 2-year plan, 4 bonus months for free. Check it out, and thank you, NordVPN, for your support.
That's such a high percent.
It's a very high
percent.
That's
more of a percent than you'd think.
That's a lot of them.
Way to go, NordVPN.
What if NordVPN gave you a very high percent?
73%
off. Woo! All right, back to what if. The next episode, we're just kind of like chopping through the episodes here, is the what if Doctor Strange lost his heart instead of his hands episode. Which,
oh boy.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Oh, boy.
And how's that going for you?
It was rough. This one was, like, hard to watch.
This is the highest rated episode of it.
What?
People loved this episode.
Oh, I'm so, I mean, I don't want to tell you not to like things, but I won't. I just don't get it. Mm. Like, good for you if you enjoyed it. I'm so glad. Because, like, there's nothing problematic wrong with it. Like, it's a totally fine episode of magic things happen.
But it's cheesy and bad.
It's cheesy and bad, and its core premise absolutely does not work.
Right. Because we were laughing out loud at its core premise. And what's amazing is I do understand some of the appeal of this episode and why it's so high rated.
People love Doctor Strange.
People love Doctor Strange. And people also love, in any fandom, in any canon when a broken powerful character goes broken powerful. Whoever it is, whatever the scenario, there is something wildly fun about being like, I always knew this dude could just end every fight. And then you explore that.
It's over 9,000. Yeah. We love when it's over 9,000.
We love seeing someone's power level. And there is an inherent appeal in that. But the whole, is Rachel is her name?
Christine.
I don't know why I thought it was Rachel.
Rachel's the actress. Rachel McAdams.
No, Rachel McAdams is the actress.
You had a reason.
Yeah. So her dying is nothing.
but it's so nothing. But the whole point is, what if she died? What if he lost his heart? She's not his heart. They're barely a couple in the movie. They're not a couple in the MCU. They don't even date at the end of the movie. It's whatever. But for this episode to have the Ancient One say, you can't save her, her death is a fixed point, or else you don't become Doctor Strange, where we are from a universe where she didn't die and he became Doctor Strange.
Right, there's other reasons for him to become Doctor Strange.
It's absolutely not a fixed point. Mm-hmm. It is, your whole premise is flawed.
Yeah.
And also, she didn't go with them that night. They weren't in love. Like, you've changed like 5 things. Mm-hmm. It's a what if one thing changed? Mm-hmm. What if they were actually in love? What if she was the focal point of him becoming a thing? What if he didn't care about his hands, I guess?
Yeah, because in the regular universe, they're not in love at that point.
No.
One would argue they're not in love at any point. They are romantically interested.
They dated before the movie starts. Mm-hmm. And when the movie starts, they have broken up and they're still like friendly.
Yes.
And he's like still like,
he and has, there like, is tension, there's romantic
there's
tension.
Tension and caring and understanding. They understand and respect each other. But they are, I mean, there's a reason they have no chemistry. There's a reason Rachel McAdams has never been brought up throughout the entire MCU, even though Doctor Strange shows up everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a weird premise to come off of.
And he doesn't do enough. We were laughing so hard when he does eventually, like, go back in time. And he's like, okay, I'm going to make sure she doesn't die that night. And he does everything the same, even with all those same memories. But he's like, I can't remember what it was, but it was like, I'm going to change lanes a little safer.
He didn't drive as fast. He's like, what if I don't pass the truck? That's what did it.
And I'm sorry. This wasn't him experimenting with time travel. This, like, to be like, I need to not change a lot to make sure there's no crazy pair. This was him just being like, no, I do still want to speed a little bit on that country road. Like, which is the most I don't love you dick move possible. To be like, I don't love you enough to never speed. I do love you enough to speed until the confirmed point when I murder you. Then I won't speed. But assuming they did live that day, I don't love you enough to not speed in the future. Like, I will drive recklessly with you in the car in the very near future.
I have mourned your death for years and learned the arts of magic so that I can time travel to save you. But I still want to speak at that conference that we're going to. I still need to show up at that conference. You might die. Like, I haven't worked out all the kinks of why you died that night. But I still need to, like, go do the conference.
Yeah.
If that's cool.
Apparently. Even though I could teleport there at this point.
He tries like 3 different ways to drive there before he even tries not bringing her.
Not driving, yeah.
He tries like, well, what if I just went a little bit slower? What if I went faster? Like, he keeps driving.
He's still doing it like an idiot.
And then the ridiculous way she starts dying. I think it is supposed to be sad,
but we were, it was pure Groundhog Day, like, dark comedy, but it was Groundhog Day comedy to be like, I'm living this day over and over again. How hilariously can I die?
Did one time she choke on some shrimp or something?
I think she choked on something. The bus was the one that really made me bust a nut laughing.
I don't remember the bus. What happened?
I think she just got hit by a bus. Where he was like, no thank you, no car. And then she was just like, okay, slipsy doodle. And like got hit by a bus. It was pure comedy. So funny. such comedy garbage.
But so, like, unintentionally funny.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And, like, it's kind of cool when he goes and absorbs a bunch of demons to make himself sure. more powerful. But I'm just like, whatever, it's magic gobbledygook. You then you fight yourself and you eat yourself and then the universe dies and it's all sad and the Watcher can't help you. It's,
yeah.
It was just, to me, it was nothing. Happy for you guys who liked it. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it's the him splitting himself into, or I guess the Eternal One splitting him into, so now there's two him on a single timeline, which is all dumb. I think that my favorite part was him just flat out acknowledging the Watcher, and that actually
that
gave
cool.
me a little chills to be cool. like, oh, fuck, he sees the dude. Yeah. No one sees the dude.
When he ate enough demons to make himself powerful enough to see the Watcher, that actually was pretty dope. That was me being like, it's 9,000. That was my moment.
Yeah.
Of I like seeing a broke, powerful dude.
Yeah.
But I don't care about this whole time machine storyline.
Yeah, the time machine storyline just didn't work. Didn't work for me. And then the next one, we've been laughing so hard at just the title of the next one of What If... Zombies?
I actually love this title, though. I love that they were just like, it's not even a sentence. It's the only one that's not a sentence.
It's the only one that is not a sentence, and it also is the only one with an interrobang. Like, it's the only one of, what if, zombies? Like, it's the only one that kind of yells a question. Not if the Avengers became zombies, just simply, what if zombies?
Because more than the Avengers become zombies.
That is
regular
true.
Humans also.
Regular
you get
humans
real, you get real
zombies.
Fucked when the Avengers become zombies, because then you got powerful zombies.
So the zombie episode, so like we saw with the Lost Its Mightiest Heroes and with the Doctor Strange losing his mind thing, like some crazy murder fantasy episodes. This one is a little that, but a bit more playful. I actually had a pretty good time with What If Zombies. I know this like middle section of episodes, we both agree, lulls a bit, but this was... a little bit more fun than the rest. I actually had a pretty good time.
I actually also had fun with zombies.
Oh.
I think we killed the Avengers too much, but if you're going to kill the Avengers anywhere, it's going to be zombies. And also, you know, Marvel Zombies is a thing. I've read a few of them. They're kind of fun. If you're doing a zombie episode, you know the Avengers are going to die. It's not going to take you by surprise and make you really sad like in the other ones. So yeah, this was actually really fun. I actually quite enjoyed this one. This one was fun because... you got to watch, like, all the heroes deal with zombies and kill some of their friends as zombies and be, like, sad but not sad and, like, horror tropes. But it also had heart like hell. Spider-Man was incredible in this.
Absolutely incredible.
So to do a zombie episode where you're like, ooh, gory zombies and ooh, horror tropes, and then also be like, oh, shit, my heart.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah, because Spider-Man was beautiful. I'm trying to remember who it was he was having the speech with.
He was saying it to Hope because she was infected.
Right.
And she was like, she wanted to save everyone while she was dying.
Yeah.
And they were like, how are you so optimistic? And he's like, well, my Aunt May used to say, she's like, oh, I guess he's gone. Well, but she used to say, if we're only sad that the people we love are gone, we might as well just be sad or something like that. Or like,
right.
they would want us to be happy.
Right.
We might as well be with them if we're just sad that they're gone.
Right, right.
So like it was. I wish I'd written it down as well.
It
was pure Spider-Man.
Yeah, it was condensed, tap it into my veins, just pure Spider-Man extract all in this one beautiful moment. And then some fun stuff too with like Wasp becoming giant.
But then she gets zombified. Yeah. And she's a giant. That was really cool. I got what I need. I got Bucky with a shield.
Mm-hmm.
Love seeing Bucky. Love seeing the Wakandans around all the time, being like, we're survivors. We're the Wakandans. You can't keep us down.
Paul Rudd in a head jar.
This is so dumb.
Paul Rudd in a head jar was great.
Anyone's gonna be in a head jar, and then having the cape like float him around so he had a body.
I loved Scott Lang in the cape. Scott Lang head jar in the cape is. I want to see those ongoing adventures.
It's wild that Spider-Man had to do like a speech about like you just keep your optimism, and everyone's like it's hard, but we'll do it. And then Scott Lang is like, I don't even have a body, but I'm still Scott Lang. I didn't even hear that speech about optimism. In a jar.
Relatively unfazed.
He is rolling with the punches.
Mm-hmm.
That is dumb, but really fun. But like, it's a fun like throwaway episode. You're like zombies. You're not recovering from.
No.
I'm not mad, but this was another episode where at the end you asked if I was okay because I started crying about Chadwick Boseman because he did a speech about how people are still with you even after they die in the afterlife, and I'm like, not right now, Chadwick Boseman. I'm watching a zombie episode of fun stuff.
Chadwick.
I'm just trying to have fun. Yeah. And I'm sad about Chadwick. R.I.P. I am genuinely always sad about Chadwick Boseman.
I'm trying to remember who were the zombie survivors at the end of that episode. It was Spider-Man,
Scott's head
with the cape,
and T'Challa.
We're the only survivors.
We kind of didn't see Hulk or Bucky die, but it's implied they're dead.
Okay.
They get swarmed.
Gotcha. So it's Wakanda with three heroes versus a zombie world and a zombie Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
So they fucked.
Yeah,
they fucked.
I don't think they're. Well, I think the ending implied that they got fucked because Thanos had all the stones and they needed the Mind Stone to create the cure.
Oh, did Thanos have all of them at the end?
Oh, did he not have
them? No, I thought he just had the ones that he had in the movie by the time
he
showed
there?
Up to Earth.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Either way, that's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, yeah. I did enjoy the children of Thanos getting all eaten up in that first sequence and like... You know, the funny Bruce of being like, guys, too much.
Oh, God.
Was that Ruffalo?
I think it was Ruffalo.
Yeah, Ruffalo did a really good job.
I don't know how I feel about you being able to use your concentration powers when you're a zombie.
Mm.
Like, I don't think Zombie Strange can make portals.
None of it works or makes sense if you even think about it a little.
I wouldn't be a nerd if I didn't nitpick these things, Andrew.
Right. Like Friday as an AI is not letting Zombie Stark control that armor. In no scenario, he doesn't have a jaw or eyes, and it is a floating user interface that reacts to where he looks within the helmet. Mm. And he's not wearing his helmet, and his eyes don't have pupils
anymore.
And
he probably doesn't have a heartbeat.
No, doesn't have a heartbeat. There's no any touch sensors on his phone doesn't work because there is no warmth to his fingers or blood.
You're making some
and
great
Friday,
points.
None of it makes any sense. Why Thanos would still be able to use an Infinity Gauntlet or care about one is completely insane. I think that if he has enough thought to continue to search for the stones, he should just be like, was this good enough for me? Is the zombie virus balancing the universe in itself?
I mean, it probably...
The zombies are using less resources and will reach a point of balance.
I guess maybe. It's hard to say, like, because that's not like half the people on Earth. That's just wiping out Earth.
Mm.
But it might reach a point of balance eventually. Like, we will just disintegrate eventually as zombies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it might do it. I don't know. It might do the trick for him.
We'll see if Thanos is happy about it.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
All right, so I think then the next episode was the what if Killmonger rescued Tony Stark.
I didn't care for this episode.
It was a little bland.
It was a little bland, and it was actually the one I was most excited about.
Mm.
I thought this was two different explorations that were going to be really interesting, and neither one was interesting at all.
Right.
I thought this was going to be either an exploration of what's Killmonger like as a hero? He saves Tony and
right.
like he actually has resources and a mentor who believes in him and someone who will like help him do the things he wants to achieve, which is help the oppressed. Like,
right.
oh, this is going to be Killmonger as a superhero. And he was still just a villain. Mm. Or it was going to be what's Tony Stark going to be like if he never goes in the cave?
Mm.
Like if he never becomes Iron Man, like how evil would
he get? He doesn't see the folly of his ways.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, so it's one or both of these two things. Like, Killmonger will be the hero and Iron Man will be the villain or something. And it's really just, oh no, they're still the same. Like, Tony's still a nice guy. Killmonger's still evil. And he still just wants to take over Wakanda. And you got to watch T'Challa die again, which fucking sucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing about this episode was interesting.
It was a continuation of a thing that we liked about Killmonger, which is like his sinisterness and how well thought out and executed Killmonger's plans are. Like, even in the movie, like, Killmonger diplomatically understands what's going on and like capturing an invader to offer them as a sacrifice to make yourself look good and like being a triple agent playing every side just to watch it all fall.
His strategic mind is incredible.
So I think it was very impressive writing and a strong understanding of Killmonger, if not a new, but it wasn't, you're right, it wasn't a new exploration as much as it was just a, like, let's do a slight detour, and it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. But what's interesting about Killmonger to me is, like, he's a strategic mind, but he's also, you know, morally gray. You're like, in a different setting, he's absolutely a hero. Mm-hmm. In, like, just a slight POV change. So, but, like, that's not explored in any way. They're just like, he's a straight-up villain.
Yeah.
So that was, it was a real missed opportunity, I think. And I think Michael B. Jordan deserved a chance to, like, be a hero Killmonger.
Yeah, because this is another one of those scenarios, I think, because the writing wasn't there, it didn't allow Michael B. Jordan to show range. Mm-hmm. And Michael B. Jordan was great and did a very good job of, like, being right back in character. It feels like missing scenes from Black Panther. Like, it feels like not a second was missed. Michael B. Jordan is Killmonger again, but doesn't get to explore, go to a different direction with his performance of that character.
Yeah, I did like the joke about liking anime. That was a nice deep cut about how Michael B. Jordan is super into anime. So I like that he has a sense of humor about himself, like the Space Jam joke as well. Like, Michael B. Jordan, you're fun and I like you and I wish you all the best.
Yeah, a lot of love for Michael B. Jordan.
So yeah, this episode was kind of nothing to me.
Yep, I'm with you there. And then that brings us to the most recent one that we watched, episode 7, which is What If Thor Were an Only Child?
Loved this episode. This episode was fantastic. It had a few little flaws, but for them, like, so fun.
So I have a question. I don't fully understand. Was the planet going to party to death? Was he lying to Jane? Because at one point he was like, we partied real hard, and then an asteroid hit or whatever. I didn't have anything to do with that.
This was actually literally what I meant when I said it has some flaws, because I don't know, and that's made super unclear. Like, when Captain Marvel, like, I thought there was, like, a virus that was making them party?
Well,
and it was going to be, like, a Loki trick that he was playing?
Because at one point they even say, like a Thor or whatever is in Vegas. And they're like, the party is spreading. Parties are just breaking out across the globe. But, like, why would they?
That's not how parties work.
Like, I guess, like, some parties would. Some people would, like, see it on the news and be like, aliens are here and they're chill. Let's have parties. But just as many people would be like, arm the nuclear warheads. Let's prepare for the end of the world. I don't know why there was a party virus.
I don't know. And there wasn't, though. There was no virus. It really was just people came to party with Thor, and they chose different continents, I guess, and they would arrive. And like, they destroyed some stuff, but not to the point where I thought Captain Marvel should throw punches. Like, they weren't causing that much damage. Although, you know, aliens show up and you can't control them. You do have to do some... You gotta get them off the planet.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really unclear what evil was happening.
Yeah.
And at the end, when Thor was just like, no, this was just a party and there was nothing sinister happening at all.
Because when he asks for help to clean up, everyone's leaving. And then he does, like, just say, like, don't, though. And then they don't, as if there's, like, a mind control spell that he's doing or has access to that just isn't brought up.
Yeah, and there's, like, and it feels like at one point maybe the script was that it was a Loki virus, because he does things like dropping Thor's phone and breaking it, and he's leaving, and he's, like, and Thor's mad at him, and I'm like, was there a version of this script where this was a Loki mischief virus?
Ah, I see what you're saying.
And you guys changed it for some reason and didn't really get all the elements out?
Oh, maybe.
Because I agree, this was also, this did damper my enjoyment, because I was like, I'm not sure what's happening, but I'm having a lot of fun.
I had so much fun on the ride, but I did have questions about the ride.
What ride am I on?
But I agree with you.
Which ride is
it? It was a lot of fun. It was a bananas episode. Everything is going on. Fucking everyone came to Earth for this party.
I adored so many quick jokes in this. Like, I have so many questions about giant blue Loki. I'm like, could you be big at any point?
I assume he could.
Like, Thanos is trying to snap your neck, and you're not just like, boom, I'm 10 feet tall. Like, why can't you just do that? Why are you so small?
I have theories about that. I actually think that, like, him attempting to look human and it absorbing and working so much, or Asgardian, and absorbing and working so much Asgardian magic...
Did change
his actual biological composition.
That makes a lot of sense. I think if you shapeshift long enough, you probably get stuck in the form you've taken, but, like... I've never seen the Big Loki before, and it was wild. Yeah. I loved Big Loki.
Big Loki was so much. And Hiddleston was having a great time playing it.
Hiddleston and Hemsworth were both having a blast. Hemsworth crushed this.
Hemsworth is wildly talented at comedy.
Oh my God.
Wildly, wildly talented.
I think this is the only, like, really great comedic performance in all of What If. Like, there's been episodes that are fun, and, like, Hayley Atwell also did, like, a good, joyous performance.
Right.
But this is comedic.
Yes.
And he's crushing it.
Yeah, like, it is him and Paul Rudd in a jar.
Yeah, Paul Rudd in a jar.
Paul Rudd in a jar.
You got me on Paul Rudd in a jar.
I'm Paul Rudd in it. But Paul Rudd is someone, like, you think Paul Rudd, you think comedy. I think Chris Hemsworth is a wildly talented and underused as a comedic actor. He gets comedy. He's unpretentious and is very fun playing it, and absolutely nails it in this episode.
Yeah, he really will let himself be the butt of the joke, and like, which doesn't happen much because he's a huge, jacked, handsome man. But
yeah, it's like him and Channing Tatum are the two willing to be the butt of the joke.
Oh my God, those two together would be so powerful.
It would be way too powerful.
It'd be over 9,000.
Yeah.
It would be.
But like the Ghostbusters reboot where Hemsworth was like the nerd made fun of, and like he does comedy really well in that.
Really dumb. Like his character's just an idiot. And I feel like because Ghostbusters like didn't make any money, no one really acknowledged that he was incredible in that.
Yeah.
And also, like, well, we all know Thor Ragnarok's really funny.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think a lot of us are like, it's because Chris Hemsworth. We're like, it's because of Taika.
Yeah.
But Chris was already good at comedy.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Taika brought it out of him.
Taika gave him the script and the direction to allow him to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, this performance was so stellar. And everyone else did great, too. I really liked that this was an episode which is, like, it's a party episode, we're having fun, but also, for no reason in particular, like, it's all women solving the problems. It's Jane. It's Colby
Darcy,
Smulders.
Maria Hill.
Maria Hill, Darcy, Captain Marvel, the mom, Frigga.
Yeah.
Like, the women have to come and clean up the party, which is like, God, that is actually, maybe that's true. We all have to do that.
Yeah.
We have to clean up after you boys all the time.
To take care of the dumb boys. Yeah.
Fix the planet and make sure you stay in line. But yeah, I liked that there was like strong, powerful women throughout this, but they also still partied. Like Darcy and Jane had a great time. So they did get to go party. And like, yeah, the cameos were so fun. When he fixed the Leaning Tower of Pisa, I lost my mind.
That is such a good joke. It's such a good but obvious joke that a god shows up and would think that he did that after a bender. Is such a good, simple, like, that is clean A to B comedy writing, and it's so fucking funny.
There's so many good jokes like that. Captain Marvel not knowing what Stonehenge is. You live in space. You live with aliens in space, and you're like, I actually don't know what this is.
We don't know. Nobody knows
nobody
what this does.
Knows what it
and
does.
I really thought Thor was going to tell them what it does.
He don't know.
No, he don't know.
This was, like, one of the only ones. This one in Captain Carter, I'm like, I want to watch these again.
Mm-hmm.
There was no other episode that I really wanted to pop on again, but these two were so good.
And I think that is such a fun understanding of Thor's character as well. Like, for this episode to kind of start with, like, Loki is the one who teaches him lessons. Mm-hmm. And what happens if you don't have someone around teaching him lessons? And I think that is 100% true. And, you know, in Norse mythology or any mythological tale, the whole point is to teach lessons. And if you remove the lesson teacher character who puts you in a precarious situation, you don't learn anything. But not everyone is inherently evil. And I kind of liked that as a lesson of the thing, too, to be like, what if he didn't learn responsibility? He'd be a bit of a party boy. And there's something kind of soft and harmless about that, that I, assuming that he's not doing some weird mind control spell, the plot is kind of unclear. But, like, there's something so soft about that to be like, we changed a thing from his backstory. And he's not as heroic. He's kind of just a neutral chaos. He likes to party. Pretty fun, huh? Like, it's still pretty chill.
It's pretty chill. And in some ways, he's actually nicer without Loki. Because in Thor the movie, his dick move was that he invaded Jotunheim and wanted to kill the Frost Giants. Without Loki, he just wants to have a party.
Yeah, he's friends with Frost Giant. Diplomatic relations at Asgard are doing better.
Giving Loki back to his dad, Odin, you crushed it.
Frigga's alive.
Frigga doesn't die till two movies later.
I guess you're right. Okay,
But she's going to be alive.
Yeah.
I feel it in my heart. She's going to live.
This is it.
So yeah, not having Loki there is like, yeah, I like this. Like, he's inherently good, but he's not inherently great.
Yeah. He's inherently okay.
I'm an inherently bro.
I think he is inherently like his father, which is a like kind of petulant, kind of adolescent ruler who takes thousands of years to get to a place, whereas Loki helps him get there in hundreds of years. So I think that there is that, like, where it's just like, yeah, no, he's still the son prince of a god who, like, Odin's still gonna teach this fucking dude some lessons.
Yeah, he's gonna go jerk off when his dad's asleep. Like,
Jesus, why did you do that? Jesus.
I didn't mean to say that, but I did.
When his dad's asleep, he's gonna go jerk off.
I meant sneak off, and I said jerk off. Your dad's asleep, you're gonna go sneak off.
You know what teens are like, you wait till your dad's asleep.
I mean, I'm not wrong, they do.
You jerk off anytime, you don't need to wait. You don't wait until your dad's asleep.
I mean, like, it's easier when he's asleep.
It makes it all weird, though.
It's more comfortable, you're like, no one's gonna open the door.
Oh, boy, you've made it all weird.
I made it all weird. I have one argument with the title. I'm going to be a real pedantic nerd. If this is the episode about what if Thor was an only child, we didn't even talk about Hela, who is his sister.
Yeah, that's true.
Is she not around?
And his older sister, because she was around earlier. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that would greatly affect Odin's parenting if Hela didn't exist.
Ooh, that's true, because he got some of the bad stuff out with her.
Yeah, he was a much better dad because of her.
Yeah, he was a shitty dad.
He was a better dad to Thor.
Yes, because he got all of his shittiness out of her, but also he had her at a warlike time in his life as well. Mm-hmm. So
I just think that wasn't touched upon, and I think they forgot that she existed, and I'm like, respect Hela's name and Cate Blanchett within. So that's my
respect.
You
Kate
gotta
Blanchett
respect Cate Blanchett as Hela.
You've gotta respect it. But yeah, fun episode. I really like
super
that one.
Fun.
I like the fun ones way more, and oddly enough, like, all of the murder ones are much higher rated episodes in terms of, like, fan reaction and, like, IMDb and Metacritic rating.
Are we not the ideal audience of the MCU?
I want goofy, silly shit.
I want silly, fun shit. I mean, the Ant-Man movies are my favorite MCU movies, probably.
They're up there. They're pretty good.
They're delightful.
I do like a Spider-Man, too.
You do like, although I will say the Zombies episode is very good.
Yeah.
You're allowed to kill off the Avengers in a zombie.
In a zombie, you can do whatever.
In a zombie, you can do what you want.
All right. I think I'm feeling good on What If. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good on What If. I'm excited to see what's going on with these last two and if they're going to explain where Infinity Stone Ultron came from.
Vision, connect. Ultron, Infinity Stones.
Seemed like it didn't make any sense.
It caught even the Watcher off guard, and he's the one telling the story, so that's kind of strange.
That is making me think the last two are actually going to tell a story, question mark?
I've been waiting for that, especially considering that, the voice of the Watcher is Jeffrey Wright.
Yes.
Who's a phenomenal actor. You might, listeners, you might know him from Westworld, or he played Felix, the CIA agent, in the recent James Bond movies. Phenomenal actor. He's terrific, but he's really just doing that opening VO and a touch here and there. But to get him, and he's like top billed as well, I think that they're going to do something a bit more with the Watcher, and I'm kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. And maybe that was it, him at the end of episode 7 being surprised, which he shouldn't be because he's omniscient.
He's the Watcher.
He sees all, knows all. He's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent.
He's all those things.
He's all of the omnis.
He's omni. He's all of those things.
So, yeah, I don't know. I feel I have been waiting for the other shoe to drop. Maybe that was it. I think that they're going to give the Watcher a character and a choice by the end of this show.
I think they have to. They've been kind of hinting at it since Strange talked to him. Mm-hmm. I think that was the point where you're like, oh, okay, there is going to be something happening here.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it will be. But I don't know if it'll like... Because I don't know when these were all supposed to come out because the schedules are all weird. Because I'm like, in a world where the schedules aren't messed up, I say last episode ties in with the Loki multiverse things.
Right.
But in a world where I'm like... They kept making the animated ones, but Loki came out later than it was supposed to be. I just don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. All right, well, let's go in for the close. Let's ask the final question of what would you change, or what if
you could change something?
What would you change?
That's kind of what we do.
That's kind of what we've always done. What if there was a change? So we're going to do
that. They stole our thing,
really.
We do that.
We did that.
They definitely haven't been doing What If since the 70s.
No, no one look up the comics. So we're going to go in for the close. But before we do ask the final question of what would you change, we're going to remind you, as we do every week, if you haven't already, please follow, subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. If it's Spotify, Podcast Addict on Android, there's lots of other podcatchers out there that you can use. Whatever you're using to listen to this right now, hit the subscribe or follow button and leave a rating and review. I know every podcast tells you to do it. It's important for a reason. It's because it's how we find new listeners, how we get recommended to new people. It pleases the algorithms, which are the gods that we bow to in the digital age. Oh, please, algorithm.
Dear algorithm, please let people see our podcast.
So do that for us, please.
Do that for us, please. And a quick please, please, please. We see the numbers. We know a bunch of you are listening on Facebook. Thank you for listening.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for listening on Facebook.
Thank you for listening on Facebook. Please get a real podcast app.
Yeah.
Don't trust Facebook to show us that you're to show us to you.
No.
They won't. They're going to stop.
At some point, they're going to hold you hostage. So as a quick side tangent, all right, for those of you who aren't hitting fast forward, here's a little fun side tangent that we're going to go on. A little peek behind the curtain and some information about Facebook. Facebook recently added the option for Facebook podcasts. So you can get your podcasts through Facebook and through the Facebook page. And we submitted to it because anything that allows us to access our fans and our listeners easier is great. At some point, Facebook's is gonna fuck us. They're gonna fuck us. They've always fucked us.
They give you a new thing, yeah. And they show it to all your fans.
Yeah.
And then they stop showing it to your fans. Like, give us some money,
and
we'll show it to your fans.
And then they hold it hostage. Yeah. So like the way it used to work, for example, when we first started our Facebook page with our webcomic, it used to be 1-to-1. If you hit follow or like or whatever term they used at the time on our Facebook page, if we had 1,000 people who liked us and we made a post, 1,000 people saw it. And
if 1,000 people logged in that day. Whoever logged in that day saw that post.
They saw it. And Facebook at the time was like, if you pay us money for advertising, we'll show it to new people. Then at some point, Facebook did the rug pull and they turned all Facebook pages into a hostage situation, which is, you know, these numbers aren't exactly right, but if you have 1,000 fans, Facebook is like, we showed it to 10 people who like your page. And if you pay us money, we will let the other people who like your page see it. So now they're not even charging to show it to new people. They're charging to gatekeep your own fans from you. And that's their business model and why they make so much, or one of the many reasons why they make so much money. And now with the podcast stuff, they're like, it's 1-to-1. We're going to show it to everyone. Don't worry about it. I'm like, very much you are going to fuck us. So if you're listening on Facebook, thank you. Love that you're listening. Welcome. Facebook will fuck us, which also will fuck you, because at some point you'll be like, wow, how come they haven't uploaded a new episode in a year?
Or
and it's because we haven't been spent giving money to Facebook for them to show it to
or
you.
Or you'll forget we exist because Facebook hasn't been showing us to you, or you'll think we're not podcasting at all because
yeah.
Facebook is not showing it to you. So thank you for listening. We so, so appreciate it. But yes, it will be so much better for us and you if you listen on a podcast app.
Please.
And we show up every week there.
Every single week.
Consistently for years. We've been showing up on iTunes and on Podcast Addict and on Spotify and Stitcher.
Because we mentioned the mysterious algorithm. There's good algorithms and bad algorithms.
Facebook's
a bad one. You know, your Apple Podcasts, your Spotify, you press the button, we're there every week. They're not hiding anything. The algorithm gets us to new people. Facebook bad, other ones good. So hit like, hit subscribe, follow, leave a rating and review on a podcatcher.
And thank you for listening to this wonderful Andrew rant.
Yes.
That was great.
That was a little side note.
Wanted
to let everybody, sometimes we like to hide a little nugget in these little sections, you know?
I think people don't know this about social media.
Yeah.
Some people do.
Some people very much do.
You absolutely do.
But
in case you don't know.
Anything you like, you've got to start liking it off of Facebook. It is literally the only way anything's going to survive.
Here's a fun challenge. Go into your liked pages on Facebook and try to figure out how many of them you've seen a post from in the past couple years.
Yeah.
It's probably a lot you haven't.
Yeah, and they're regularly posting. They're just not giving Facebook money. And then the other option as well, if you want cool bonus episodes of this podcast, you can check us out over on Patreon at patreon.com/fromsuperheroes. That's patreon.com/fromsuperheroes. This month we did more James Bond over there. So our Patreon, it gets an exclusive episode of the podcast every single month just for our patrons. And we did Quantum of Solace over on the Patreon exclusive episode of the podcast this month.
Real fun episode.
Real fun episode. Good time.
Had a great time. So if you want all of the storyline of the Daniel Craig Bonds, you can. Quantum Solace is only available on the Patreon. And you get access to all the old episodes when you sign up at the $10 level. There's so much more of us out there.
There's so much going on. And at Patreon, you can do a buck a month, three, five, ten, however much you can afford. You can change at any time, cancel at any time. There's no obligations. You don't need to worry about that. So if you've got $10 to kick in this month, head over to Patreon, kick in $10. Listen to as many bonus episodes as you want / can. If you don't have that in the budget next month, cancel it. Drop it down to a dollar. Do whatever you got to do. Take care of yourself first. But if you have something for us, we will very much appreciate you, and we will give you a little bit of extra content for it.
And we love you so much, all of our patrons and everyone who listens to everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're all great.
Patreon.com/fromsuperheroes. That's patreon.com/fromsuperheroes. And now let's go in for the close. Let's ask the final question of what would you change? What if? Diana, what if?
This is weird because every episode is singular, so it's hard to have a big change. And I like that every episode is singular. So I will just choose an episode is what I've decided to do. I'm going to choose the Killmonger episode. Very disappointed in this one, but it had the most potential to me. So my change is, what if Killmonger became a hero by working with Tony Stark? I think this just makes sense. Like, I think he can become a full Avenger. Like, I think it makes sense that he would become kind of like, maybe not so much Rhodey because he is more of like a hand-to-hand fighter, but like I think if he had, like, Tony trusted him fully because he saved his life and gave him all these resources, I do think he would just be more kind of philanthropic. Like, he wouldn't want to take over Wakanda. He would be like, oh, I can help the people who are oppressed who I want to help. Like, I've got millions of dollars at my disposal. Like, I don't think he is this inherently evil as the show wants us to believe, and I think it was actually kind of a disservice to the character. So my big change is he works with Tony to become a hero. And maybe Tony doesn't become a hero because he pushes Killmonger into being a hero. And Killmonger can be the start of the MCU. Mm. And I think that's like, because Tony and him are very much similar in that, like, they are, Tony before the cave is a bad guy for the most part. So I think there's very similar veins that they can go to. It would be more similar to me of Peggy becomes Cap or T'Challa becomes Star-Lord. What if Killmonger became Iron Man? Like, what if he started the MCU? I think it's such a more interesting story that I want to see, and I didn't want to see most of the Avengers die again. So definitely get rid of that. And my big change is that episode is completely rehauled to what if Killmonger became a hero with Tony Stark. Hmm. What about you, Andrew?
I love that change. I fully agree with you. I think that is a better version of that episode. I think my change would be more of an overarching thing for all of them. I agree with you that, like, there are little things here and there that the episodes could have done a better job on. My episode-specific one would be Doctor Strange. Mm. I think the biggest thing about Doctor Strange is not, like, that her death is a fixed point in time, but it should be a time paradox where if he breaks his hands instead of her dying, he never learns to time travel, which means he doesn't come back to save her, so he can't save her because it creates a time paradox, which would have been a way better thing for the Ancient One to do. But my overarching thing is that these episodes, they're changing in tone. Some of them more playful, some of them hyper-violent, but I want to see them change in genre. Kind of similar to what WandaVision did to a certain degree, where, like, WandaVision, you know, granted they're doing it through this lens of different eras of television and different versions of the sitcom is how WandaVision did it. But I don't understand why they're not doing genre shifts, because clearly it's kind of no holds barred. They're going hyper-violent. I don't know what they're rating this, but it actually seems like it's pushing, and I'm going to use that term softly, but pushing boundaries for what they're doing with the MCU and with Disney and on mainline Disney Plus. But the zombie one, granted zombies are kind of like silly and fun in this scenario, but it's like, why can't we have that as a horror? one. Like, why can't we have a full-on comedy? Because the zombie one was, like, a little intimidating, but it wasn't presented as a horror. I want to see a different genre.
I felt that. I was actually just about to say the zombie one is horror. Why didn't they do that with other ones? I thought it was horror. Like, they did, like, shadowy reveals of zombies, and, like, it was gooey, and they were gross, and they did the tropes. Like, don't separate, you're gonna die.
Right, right.
So I think that was pretty horror. But I agree with you, that's the only one that was a genre. Like, they didn't do, I don't know, a Western episode, or...
That absolutely could have easily be done. Like, you know, what if Cap gets sent back in time and, like, the Tesseract somehow or whatever fucking sends him back, and it's Captain America in, like, a Western, and he's, like, the guy wandering from town to town saving the day. Like,
Cap in a Western makes so much sense. Yeah, I love that.
There's tonal shifts here, but there's no genre shifts. Mm. There's no shift in, like, how things are portrayed and how things are done. Even just, like... The Thor party episode is fun, and Howard the Duck, they kind of do some straight comedy with. But I'm like, I would like to see just give me a straight slapstick comedy Howard the Duck episode where it is just a comedy cartoon. I want to see that. And I also think that since we're exploring the multiverse, this would be a fun place for Disney to play around with some of the shit that they own. You know, like, why not have fun? Why not, like, bring it? Like, they've already admitted that they're keeping Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. Like, that's something that, like, Disney has talked about for a while. They have the contract for it. He's going to be the holdover from Fox. Have fucking Ryan Reynolds show up as Deadpool. Like, I get you don't want to, you know, blow the big reveal of, like, you're holding out for X-Men or Fantastic Four on the big screen.
But we know Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool.
Go bananas. Do some shit that you're not going to do. Like, have a what if the Netflix series connected to the movies, and you bring the Netflix actors back. Like, what if like do your own multiverse with like the old Fantastic Four and Iron Man Marvel Power Hour cartoons?
Yeah, like, they're not really taking in the fact that like it's animated and you can do anything. They really are acting like they have to get these actors.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can do anything. They have said that this is MCU canon, every single one of them.
Right, like it is a numbered multiverse within the MCU.
So, like, maybe you didn't have to do that. Maybe it could have just been a fun animated show, so you could do, maybe you have Chris Evans play Captain America and the Human Torch, like,
right.
Or not Chris Evans, because he didn't come back, but like, you know,
sure.
Do something fun with that. Michael B. Jordan is also the Human Torch. So many Human Torches.
Have a double Human Torches. Like, yeah, like.
What if there were too many Human Torches?
Yeah, so I think that like opening it up a little bit, going a bit wilder, doing crazy stuff with what you own and playing with genre. Give me a Western. Give me a samurai.
Give me a noir episode.
Give me a black and white. Give me...
Like, how was the Black Widow solving the murders, not like a noir mystery kind of thing?
Yeah. I think it could stand to play with genre a bit, is my main thing.
I think that's fun.
And I agree with you on Killmonger. I would love to see a different exploration of his character as opposed to a continuation.
I think your idea is fun.
I think your idea is fun.
Well, aren't we fun together?
Apparently, we are.
Excellent.
That's what I'm told.
5 stars.
Question. Oh, 5 stars.
I'm going to give us 5 stars.
I like to hear it. All right. Well, that is going to be it for this week for our episode on What If. We are going to be back next week talking about, and it's this is correct, right? This hasn't moved?
This is correct.
Talking about Venom 2.
Venom.
Venom. Hit him. And then a Venom. Venom 2.
Finally happening. And they haven't moved James Bond either.
All right, here we go, y'all. I can't.
Andrew does. What if movies actually came out?
I feel like there's been like one trailer for Venom 2.
I will absolutely agree. There's been no press for this movie.
There was also an article like a week ago where it was like, they're not done the CGI on Venom 2.
It's been 2 years.
I don't know what we're going to...
Guys, we'll report back.
We're going to see Venom 2 next week.
We're going to see it. We'll tell you how it is.
In the meantime, if you want to reach us, you can get a hold of me on Twitter at Ivamey, I-V-I-M-E-Y.
You can reach me at Words of Diane. I've actually got a great pinned tweet about Venom.
That is a Venom-related pinned tweet. Check out her pinned tweet.
You guys, if you've never checked out my pinned tweet.
You've got to now check out her pinned tweet.
Check it out now.
And if you want to reach both of us, you can reach us at From Superheroes. And we'll see y'all next week.
Bye. Venom.